Let's pray. Father, we have spoken those words by faith today, and we believe that your word that we hear this morning will be exactly what we need in each of our lives. I want to thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit as I minister your word today. I thank you, Jesus. Today you enable me to minister your words in such a way that brings life, blessing, transformation, strength, whatever is needed. And we thank you for that. In your name, amen. Well, today, Lord willing, we're going to be wrapping up our series entitled Make a Difference. Now, if you can put up Faith Life Church mission for me, the mission of Faith Life Church is this. Faith Life Church exists to build people's faith so they know Jesus, live free, discover their purpose, and then make a difference. That's one of the reasons why we're doing the Financial Peace University small groups, is because we want, it's a part of our mission. We want you to live financially free. One of the reasons why I'm doing this series on Make a Difference is because we want you to experience the joy, and how many of you know the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so we want you to be strong. And one of the ways that we become stronger is by experiencing the joy that comes when we make a difference. When we are difference makers, we will change our world. In fact, last week I talked about being a world changer. And we learned that to change the world we live in, and we're all called to go into our world, and the way we change the world we live in is by preaching the gospel. And last week I told all of you to be preachers. Go preach it, post it, publish it, tell your story. You don't have to be a pastor, you know, called to a certain office. Every believer, every follower of Christ is called to change the world they're in. And one of the ways that we do that is take the gospel, share Jesus to the people in our world. And we know this, the good news changes people. And when people change, the world changes. The world we live in changes. Now, today, as we wrap this series up, I want to minister to you a message entitled, A Different Kind of Faith. And really, in this message, I just want us to take a different kind of look at faith. Now, let me define for you the word faith, just to make sure that when I say faith, that you're on the same page, that we're thinking about the same thing. It might mean different things to different people, but the word faith in the Bible is translated or defined as this. It means to trust. It means to believe. And so when we talk about having faith in God, we're talking about putting our trust in God. We could say it this way. Because we believe God, then we put our trust in God. That's what we're talking about, having faith. We have faith in Jesus, faith in God's word. We're putting our trust, our belief in his word, in our Savior. We have faith. Well, I want to talk about a different kind of faith this morning. And when I say a different kind of faith, I'm not suggesting in any way that those of you listening to this message haven't used this different kind of faith. But I'm going to preach in a way, I'm going to preach it in a way like you haven't, okay? Yeah. Just to stir us all up, including myself. You see, because we teach here at Faith Life Church, it's a part of our foundation. It's represented in our name, Faith Life. We believe that we are all called to live by faith. We believe that everything we receive from God, the blessings, the promises of God, are by faith. It's because we believe. It's because we put our trust in him. So certainly we encourage you to believe God and to receive by faith his promises fulfilled in your life. But I want to look at the other side of faith. And I'm going to call it a different kind of faith. And it really starts with saving faith. And so go with me to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, and I'm going to read verse 14. But let me just say this before I read this scripture. James, who wrote this book, was a half-brother of the Lord Jesus. Of course, we're his full brother and sister. Because we're spiritual sons and daughters, and his natural brothers and sisters only had the connection with their mother. But James was raised in the household with Jesus. How would you like that for a brother? Your brother really would be perfect. But I have to believe that if James was raised in the household with Jesus and knew him from the very beginning, that certainly some perspective about faith, or certainly that James got some of his perspective about faith from, come on, are you with me? From Jesus. From Jesus. Just makes sense that Jesus would have influenced some of the ways that he thought about faith. And here's what James is saying, writing to the church of that day, James 2:14. He says, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone?" Now, I'm not suggesting this morning that you're not saved. But I am asking you to look at what James is saying, and let's dig a little bit this morning into the truth that James is trying to get us to see. What kind of faith do you have? Do you really have saving faith? And James describes the saving kind of faith as the kind of faith that is seen by its actions. Wow. Now, let me define the word save there. Many of you are probably familiar with this word. It's a Greek word. The Greek word is the word sozo, and it's literally defined as material and temporal deliverance from danger or suffering. The present experience of God's power to deliver from the bondage of sin. Now, that's the one that we're more familiar with. When we talk about saving faith, we think about being delivered from the power, the bondage of sin. When we receive forgiveness, man, that's saving faith. I mean, when God delivers us from the destructive patterns and lifestyles of sin, and we're not under guilt and condemnation anymore, when we come into a relationship, not with just anybody, but when we come into relationship with God. Do people know who you know? Do they know who you are? Not in an arrogant way, but you ought to know who you are. Come on, faith saved you. It delivered you. Gave you eternal life. Saving faith. I would say that's some powerful faith you got there. But he says, that kind of faith that saved you? He said, isn't that the kind of faith that's also seen in its actions? I like what the Thayer's Greek Lexicon says, defines this word. It means to save, to keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction, to make well, to heal, to restore. And certainly, our faith, our salvation, we recognize is a package deal. And not only are we forgiven from our sins, but things were restored, made whole. Healing is available to us. But if we go on reading here, and we will in just a minute, because you should never take a scripture, just pull it out of its context. One of the rules of biblical interpretation is to keep the scripture in its setting. How many of you know, if you just take one thing I say, boy, and you say it in a different context than I said it, you can make me sound foolish. Don't do that, please. I know y'all wouldn't do that, but you understand what I'm talking about. And we're going to get into the context of this just a minute, but really what we're going to see is that James is saying, listen, that kind of faith, a different kind of faith, is the kind of faith that not only saves you, but it can bring restoration and healing to somebody else. He said, do you really have saving faith if there's no action to it? Wow, a different kind of faith. Now let me say this. We have enough sense to save ourselves first. You ever been on a plane, I'm sure you've taken a plane ride, and one of the first things they do is they come out and they give you that little speech about the safety of the plane. And one of the things they cover is the oxygen mask. And they said, should the cabin become depressurized and you need oxygen, a mask, will, you know, the pilot will lower the mask from the little compartment above your seat. And then they say, now put the mask on yourself first and then help anyone in your party that might need help. Come on, save yourself first. Put your faith, put your trust in God first. Get delivered from sin before you try to get somebody else delivered. But at the same time, we are delivered. For those of us who have our mask on and we're breathing fresh life, fresh air, we know what it's like to live forgiven. Some people are living in this world and the polluted, the pollution of guilt and shame and fear is all, they're breathing that in every day, but we're going around with this oxygen mask. Hey. Share it. Put it on them. You don't have to take it off yourself to put it on them. But help give them a mask. It's a different kind of faith. Now, let me just insert this here, and I'll say something about this again, too. We realize this. Salvation is by grace through faith. You can never work for salvation. I'm not talking about you working for your salvation. You're already saved, and you're sharing by faith the salvation that you have. Your faith should produce good works, deeds, actions. Too often, we're thinking about what our faith can do for us. It's okay to consider what you can receive by faith from God. I've already told you that. But folks, believers, Faith Life Church, we can't stop there. And the truth is, the more we realize the kind of salvation that is ours, the more we'll share it. And our faith in God will produce action. Has your faith been acting out lately? Or has it been on the bench? Come on. Yeah. Is it on the field? Are you thinking about it? Let's talk about active faith. Let's keep on reading in this passage here, James 2:15. We just read James 2:14. Let's read James 2:15. And he goes on and he explains this a little bit more about this different kind of faith. Actually calls it an active faith. It says, suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing and you say goodbye and have a good day, stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. Is your faith enough? You know, he says here that faith is useless or dead. It doesn't have good works. And when we ask that question, is our faith enough? I would say that the person who comes to you and has a need that you can meet. Now listen, there have been times that even in ministry that people have come to me and they had a need I could not meet. I did not have the financial resources or the other resources to meet their need. But if I did, or I had to ask myself, I've learned to ask myself, what can I do? Yeah. I can't meet the whole need. Maybe I don't have the resources to pay your rent, but maybe I can pay your groceries for this week. So then you can take that money and you can begin to set some aside. Maybe I can't buy all your groceries, but maybe I can pay for lunch. Maybe I can connect you with some resource that could help you. I can do something for you. And my faith in God, come on, prompts me or should produce. It should be productive. Faith is productive. He says faith by itself isn't enough. And we could say it certainly isn't enough for the people in the world that are hungry, starving. Somebody tell you about a circumstance in their life, they share it with you. You don't cross boundaries. Listen, we need to respect people's boundaries. God does. But if they give you the opportunity and they tell you about something that's going on in their life, then pray for them. Just simple as this. In fact, I think Tracy's here. There she is. I met one of our members, Tracy, for lunch at Panera Bread this past week. And as I was walking in the door, it had just been, you know, it's been so rainy this week. And thank God it had just quit. But just as I was going in the door, I was opening the door for an elderly woman that was walking in behind me. And so I just opened the door for her. And she said, oh, thank you. Very pleasant. And she goes, wow. You know, she said, I just went through a terrible rainstorm. I said, oh, where'd you come up from? She said, Sun City Center. And I said, well, at least you're probably here to meet some family or friends, so that's good. She goes, well, no. She said, I'm here because my husband is at Moffitt and or at the VA. And so I drove up from Sun City Center to bring him to the VA. And I said, well, what's his name? And she said, his name is Victor. And I said, well, I'm going to pray for Victor. So I'm meeting lunch. And she goes, well, thank you. You know what? She gave me an opportunity. I wasn't bold. I didn't stop in the store and say, right now, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, I'm not saying that if it's appropriate to do that. But how many of you know that's why sometimes people don't understand and we've done some things that, you know. But she just smiled and then she waved at me when she left. Come, faith. Just even the simple things. What can you do? That was what I could do. And then I prayed for him under my breath. I said, Lord, bless him. If he's not saved, speak salvation to him. He said, is your faith useless or is it useful? And I thought, really, maybe the person to answer that question is the people in our lives or the people that could answer that question. Maybe we're not the one to answer that question. Is our faith useless or useful? Maybe the people around us ought to answer that question. Is our faith useful for them? Has our faith in God helped them? Has it produced some actions that reach them? Listen, a living faith in Jesus affects those around us. A living faith in Jesus, a different kind of faith, makes faith visible. People can see our faith. You know, I had some wonderful people in my life growing up who led this by example. And when I was just a young woman going through college, I was my parents helped me a little bit, but I pretty much foot the college bill by myself. And there was a young couple in my church that would send me cashier's checks. And at first, I didn't know who it was, and I would just be getting these $150, $200 cashier checks in the mail. How many of you know? That's fun. Made out to me. Well, then one of them, they slipped up. You know, my name is Jane, and one of them, they slipped up, and instead of, you know, writing out Jane Hillman, they wrote out Janie Hillman. And there was only one person that called me Janie, and it was this couple. And I kind of had thought it was them anyway. But you know what that was? Would I say their faith in God was useful? Amen. Yes. Amen. Their faith in God helped cement my faith in God. It was saving faith. It was a different kind of faith. Now, we have to understand this too. I'm not telling you to go out and do a bunch of good works and then that your good deeds will produce faith. No. Good deeds won't produce faith. In fact, you'll have the cart before the horse. Can you put my little picture there? How many know that just does not work? You can't go out and do all of these things and then think you're going to have faith. No, but you can step out in faith based on what you believe about God and how much you trust God. Then you can step out and in faith minister to someone else. And maybe overcome the fear that you may have of ministering to them. Do something simple. But listen, just do something and do it out of faith. We don't want to be a faithful James goes on there to say in verse 19 of the same chapter, chapter 2, it says, you say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? And this morning, all I want for us to do, church, is I just want us to make sure that we're seeing correctly when it comes to faith. We don't want to be a faith fool. We don't want to allow the devil to fool us into believing that faith without good deeds is enough. It's not enough for us. It won't produce long run for us, and it certainly isn't changing our world. Then we won't have the joy of being a difference maker. This kind of faith makes a difference. And when you make a difference, there's that joy, there's that strength. He goes on to say in verse 26, James 2:26, just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. Wow. A living faith in Jesus produces good deeds. So we have to ask ourselves, how productive is our faith? And how do we have this different kind of faith? Well, I want to take you to the words of Jesus. And I want us to examine a passage that certainly is one of my favorite passages that I've learned so much about faith in, and I'm not going to read the entire passage, but I want to just to look at the beginning of this passage and see what Jesus said. And I believe that as we examine closely Jesus' words, we're going to see here how we can really keep ourselves on the straight and narrow, so to speak, so that we don't lose sight of faith producing good deeds and what kind of faith that is. So let's go to Mark chapter 11, and I'm going to start reading with verse 21. Mark 11:21. It says, Peter remembered what Jesus had said to the tree on the previous day and exclaimed, look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered and died. Then Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. Now, let me make sure you know the story here, give you the context. Jesus and his disciples had been walking through town the previous day, and Jesus, it says, was hungry, and he saw a fig tree in the distance, and it was the time for fig trees to produce their fruit. So he was thinking, I'm going to get some figs when I walk by that way. Well, when he got up to the fig tree, no figs. And Jesus literally cursed the fig tree, and he said, no man eat fruit of you from here on out. You're not gonna bear any more figs. And he went on walking. Well, the next day they pass by this same fig tree, and Peter notices that the fig tree is dried up, it's withered, it's dead. Nobody's gonna eat fruit from that fig tree ever again. So what Jesus said came to pass. And Peter says, wow, look at that, Lord. The fig tree's withered. And here's what Jesus responded. You want results? He said, have faith in God. You say, Pastor Jane, what does that have to do with living faith? Well, there's that little word there, in. Too often, we have faith for something. I have faith for my healing, faith for my finances. I have faith for this and faith for my family. No, you don't need to have faith for something. You need to have faith in someone. Jesus said, if you want to have the kind of faith that produces, then make sure that you keep your faith in God. It's a living kind of faith. Now, let me just define for you the word faith there. Belief, trust, confidence, and then there's that little word in. In. Believe, trust, confidence in God. I like how this Greek scholar, he's one of my favorite, Spyros Zodiotis, he says, worthy to be believed. How many know God is worthy to be believed? Jesus had a different kind of faith. Nobody had seen faith quite like his faith before. And think about the result of Jesus' faith in God. Come on, what happened? What's the whole gospel about? People were saved. People were healed. People who were guilt-ridden were delivered. People who were condemned were set free. People who were lame walked. Why? Because he had faith in God. He didn't have faith for something. He had faith in someone. And because he had such faith in God, then his faith became useful to others. You see, if Jesus wouldn't have believed that God was a healing God, he wouldn't have prayed for the sick. If he wouldn't have believed that God was a provider, he wouldn't have prayed for people and blessed them and received gifts from them. If he wouldn't have believed that God was a healer, that God forgave sins, he wouldn't have told people, you're forgiven. But you see, he had such faith in God. He had faith in a forgiving God. He had faith in a healing God. He had faith in a powerful God. He knew that nothing was too impossible for God, and his faith produced. Wow. Maybe, well, let me change that word, because I know that our faith would be more visible if we grew our faith in God and not just believing for my healing. When we know really Jesus already got your healing. You're believing in a God who provided healing for you through Jesus on the cross and the resurrection. Faith in God. I want to share, and I didn't tell them that I was going to share this. The person that it's about gave me the permission to share it, but the person that used their faith, they're going to hear this for the first time. But this past week, I called one of our members, Christine Stapleton, who was in the hospital, and she had been admitted for excessive bleeding. She has been battling ulcerative colitis for 5 years and has been on medicine and just gone through a lot of difficult situations, and the bleeding started again, and she went to the hospital and was admitted, and once again they're going to run tests and see if, you know, how they could help her. And when I called her, she said, Pastor Jane, something happened from the time I checked in to the time that I'm talking to you on the phone. You know what? One of our healing team members, Pastor Ken, asked, I believe, Veronica to go down and to pray with, I don't know if you prayed with her on the phone or went down there, but one of our healing team members prayed with Kristen, and Kristen told me, once Veronica and Pastor Ken prayed with me, she said, I'm healed. She said the doctors ran all the tests, and they came in this morning, and they said, we don't find any ulcerative colitis. And of course, their words were, it's in remission. You know, your ulcerated colitis is in remission. And her words to me, she said, Pastor Jane, a miracle happened from the time I arrived at the hospital until those reports came back. I am healed. But now listen, here's the thing I want you to get. And in fact, the doctors told her, listen, just finish the medicine you're on right now and you don't need any more medicine. You won't have any other problems with this. But now listen, Pastor Ken, Veronica, they believe in a God that heals. So therefore, their faith in God produced the good deeds. Kristen, healing is new to her. She's a newer believer when it comes to those kinds of things. Just recently rededicated her life here to Jesus at Faith Life Church. But come on. Listen, we got folks here with a different kind of faith. They're not just believing for us four and no more. I will say this, so many wonderful churches out there Make sure that the church you go to know what they believe. Because they're not going to have faith for you for something they don't believe in. Now, let me close with this. For us to have this different kind of faith, we need to also do what Jesus did. First, we need to know God and then make him known. And you can't make God known, and those would be the good works, the good deeds. You can't make God known until you know him. Jesus said this in John 17:3. It says, and this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. Then he goes on and says this back to God. He said, I brought you glory. I brought glory to you here on the earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And really, what is Jesus saying there? He's saying, God, I knew you, and then I made you known. I knew you. You see, eternal life begins by first, we need to know God. And that word know there is a Greek word, gnosko, and it literally means to know experientially or by learning, to understand, to be intimate. Now, can I tell you something? I know some of you think you know Jeff McDonough, but I know Jeff McDonough. You come to me and you tell me he bought something without a coupon, I'm going to say, that was not Jeff. That he paid full price for something, that was not him. No, I'm teasing. Concerning groceries, other things, you know, he buys me all kinds of stuff. But concerning groceries, there's a thing in our house. The boys say, well, I want something. Is it on sale and do we have a coupon? Okay, well, I'm joking you. But now you understand what I mean. Amen. I know Jeff. Amen. You got to know God. And how do I know Jeff? Because I spend time with him. Because I've asked him questions. I've been with him. Come on. You got to spend time with God. You got to spend time with his word. He wants to spend time with you. Make a commitment today. If you need to know God more, get in his word. Read his word. Study his word. Get online. Read the daily wisdom every day. We send out a daily wisdom. Just a real short Proverbs. You can read it so quick. Sign up. You can go on our website, flctampa.org. Sign up. Get on the daily. Come on. Know God. Know his word. And then when we know God, then we can make him known. Jesus said, I brought you glory. In other words, that word glory, here's how it's defined. It means to glorify, but it comes from the word doxa, which means the manifestation of all that he has and is. When you bring glory to God, it is the manifestation of all God is and all God has. He's a healing God. He's a saving God. He's a restoring God. He's a providing God. But how well do you know God? Come on, you got to know him. Listen, if somebody were to come and tell me that Jeff did something immoral or was with another woman, said, you saw somebody else. Oh, no, that was with Jeff. I said, you're wrong. I don't care what you saw. I don't care what you think you saw. It's not him. You know what? You need to be able to say that. God will heal you. God will save you. You can be forgiven. Come on, know God. And then come on, when we know God, we will make him known. Let me close with this. It takes faith to know God. It takes a different kind of faith to make God known. How many of you want a different kind of faith this morning? And when we have a different kind of faith, we will make a difference in this world. Let me encourage you this as we close out today. I want to encourage you to make a decision based off what you've heard today. Maybe for you, the step you need to take is you need to say, you know what? I'm going to get to know God more. I'm going to spend more time with God. Maybe you need to know God when it comes to finances. Maybe the decision for you know what, before I can share finances with somebody else, I got to have financial peace. I'm going to sign up. I'm going to find one of those groups and I'm going to sign up. What do you need to do? You need to know God, or maybe you're in that place where you need to make God known. You need to take your faith and you need to act this week with a family member, somebody at work. And I'm going to pray now as we close out this service that the Holy Spirit would show each of us exactly how to apply the word that we've heard today. Are you ready to pray with me? Bow your heads this morning.